Hey everyone, welcome back to the Double Click Podcast. This week we talk about praying first. Well, good morning, evening, afternoon. I don't know when you're listening. Middle of the night. Maybe you can't sleep. But thanks for joining us. And yeah, just to kind of set this up, this started as an office conversation on praying before a meal. Because we really were kind of confessing our struggles with that.
Yeah.
And so, and then kind of did this full loop conversation that was like, so what's the biblical precedent for when people emphasize praying before a meal? And then I've got, I guess I have baggage with it, is how the way I describe it.
It was like those, I don't want to say quirky, but like kind of those maybe unspoken, spoken rules within believers and culture and just different things. And, you know, sometimes people sit down, and this specifically was brought up, praying before a meal of, you know, why do we do that? Does the Bible require that we do that? Is that what we're supposed to do as believers? Or can we just dive in and start chowing down? And
It got interesting because like we first started this conversation, and once again, like our goal by the end of this is we did get to and we'll get to really a healthy spiritual question for us to evaluate. But so I feel like we're going to start this and it's going to be rough because I feel like
people are used to that.
I feel like no matter how much I articulate my journey with this, and which it feels a little weak to call that a journey anyway, but just like my mental processing, because I think initially I really used to, going back to like high school, college, as a young believer, I kind of used to despise watching people pray before they ate, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I also despised like the very dogmatic aspect of like the adult that's like smacking your hand, you know, smacking the food out of your hand, going like, no, you blessed it, you know, type of
thing. Yeah. Well, and so I think that's where we start, right? Is your journey kind of this?
Yeah.
Kind of this. I see it as this cheapy thing that I hate.
Yep.
And I was the opposite of that. So I don't want to say I grew up, but throughout my life, it was parents, specifically my mother.
Hope she's listening.
Yeah. Drop that piece of food because did you say a blessing first? And literally to the point of not sure how to move forward at a meal setting.
Yeah.
If we haven't said the blessing, and then continue to, if we've taken a few bites, well, I can't believe you would have, you know, like continued commentary.
Right.
On
yeah.
That.
And it almost,
and then mom sits there, mom, if you're listening, I do love you. But I'm sure she's not. And then she continues to, like, everybody else is like, okay, that's kind of awkward. Let's continue to eat. And she stops and you see her close her eyes, bow her head, and very kind of like, I'm praying now. Like, this is, you know.
Yeah, it was almost used like a, this was a phrase like when I was in high school, like a holier than thou weapon.
It feels like that.
Yes.
I don't know that was her intention.
Right.
But it certainly felt like that to everybody else to go, how dare you not?
Yeah, and I think, so like one of the questions we had, like, so what's the biblical precedent here?
Yep.
And this whole thing is a heart posture. It really is. And I think for me, early on, it felt like something that was very fake, and I think that was the offender, because it felt mechanical, emotionless, and it was just something, like, you had to do, or, like, I mean, when you were a real little kid, it was like, you had to do it or it's going to turn to poison. Like, that's where your head went, right? Like, you,
right.
You, as a little kid, you know, it's like it almost changes the taste of the chicken nugget.
For me, right. I have a phobia of throwing up, and so it was like, if I don't pray for this, I'm going to be revisiting.
When's the last time? I just want to know.
I'm not, because it's, I don't want to jinx anything. it was pre being a teenager.
Wow. Vomit free since 93? That's good to know.
Let's
put a slogan.
Let's
get that.
Let's move forward from this.
Okay,
we don't want to, you know, jinx anything.
But anyway, I think, and so if I'm going with my processing, I can remember, like, as a young believer, it was one of those things, like, you kind of politely did to be respectful.
Yeah.
If
or
an adult
awkwardly
was,
did, because you felt like you had to.
Yeah, and then, here's where I remember, like, it suddenly changed, is I had a friend that I think it was in college. It was the first time, like, I had observed somebody that I felt like was doing it, and it wasn't a hollow tradition.
Mm-hmm.
because I remember sitting there, and like we'd be in the cafeteria area of college, and so we ate together a lot with people, and there was this one guy who I would notice would just, we would be loud, obnoxious college kids, and he would just real quickly, he would bow his head, nobody would really notice, and then he would just continue eating. And I knew he was a believer, and so I remember I got in a conversation with him one time and just kind of learned, like, you know, that was something that, that was the first time I heard somebody articulate it in a way that wasn't because we learned this in VBS and you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I even knew, I mean, even then I knew, like, okay, God is the provider. And we talked about that. Yeah. Like it is a recognition of, like, God provides everything, but there's lots of provision God gives you all day.
Yeah.
And there is also the acknowledgement of, like, we, for the most part, especially if you're listening to this podcast and you're in first world America, like, you, for the most part, you're not worried about where the next meal is coming from.
Right.
Like, you've never experienced the reality of, like, I don't know where it's coming from. I've got to trust God.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, it's that first world problems type deal comes into play. But I think my interaction with that individual is really what kind of started to change caused me to evaluate, okay, well, what's my heart posture on this?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you get into the 1 Thessalonians 5, the pray without ceasing,
yep,
mentality and heart posture. So going back to your point of, there's always something to be grateful and thankful for. So sincerely grateful for the meal, but like, is it the conversation we were having before? Thankful for the gas to put in my car, the money, the provision to do that. Thankful for the home that I get to have.
Yeah, the air you're breathing.
Yeah, the air that I'm breathing. So it's a knowing if we're living in a right heart posture of gratitude towards the Father for the things that He's given us graciously, is there a need for that specific prayer? Or is it a, hey, I'm living out in a posture of prayer. I'm living out in a yep. posture of gratitude. And is one of those right or wrong? Or is it, are both acceptable?
Yeah, and where I really had to evaluate the, specifically prayer before a meal, and we'll get into other stuff, because I think there's also other settings where,
like, if you're at Chick-fil-A, that's, you don't have to pray over that. That's pre-blessed, correct?
Stop.
That's the Lord's chicken.
Really? Really? It's pre-blessed. Well, I mean, that's the question right there. So, like, you said something right there.
Pray an Asian sauce. You know?
Stop. We're not going to be able to post this. But that's where you changed the purpose a little bit there.
Mm.
Because you said, bless the food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those, like, I'm going to be really honest. Like, if I'm at McDonald's and I didn't do my part.
Oh, let this Big Mac be nourishment for
right,
my body.
Yeah,
you
if
know?
I'm not doing my part, I will be grateful.
Yeah.
And I will be like that God is my provider and reverent. But I also feel like it's one of those, like, not studying for the test.
Yeah.
Bless
his Popeyes.
Yes, exactly. Like, and so, but that's interesting though, because that's a little bit different than the gratitude line. Is you're actually praying, like, and we go back to the blessing conversation we had, like, where, you know, still not sure fully grasp that.
So, is there a difference between the blessing?
Yeah, I knew we would not make it through this without that quote. Okay.
Christmas vacation yes. reference, or saying grace. You know, going back to that same thing, or
she died 30 years. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, blessing and grace and the prayer of thanks, are they all the same, Matt? Answer that for us.
Once again, I think it's to the individual, like, yeah. Because I do think there is. Oh man, I don't know how to articulate this, because I feel like there's a truth element, and then there's an unhealthy genie in a bottle aspect that, like, misconstrues, like, prayer, like. If you don't say the prayer, kind of going back to that little kid phobia of like, it's going to make you throw up, whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, where it shifted for me, like, where all of a sudden, well, there were two shifts. Like, one of them was crazy. You had kids and then you started to realize, oh, this is an opportunity to model.
Yeah, to teach.
But if the goal is to model for them, then you miss the mark.
So I want to interject here. So I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, you're fine.
We're modeling a heart posture, right? A to go, this is why we're giving, why we're saying the blessing or grace or thanks before a meal, is because we are thankful to the Lord for providing this. We're not teaching a habit. And I think that's the difference. Are we teaching, and not in a, in a habit, like a liturgy or something. Hey, like I want us to know when a meal's set before us, our hearts and our minds should go towards gratitude. Like that's completely appropriate. But if you go to the place where it's a, you have to say it or this or like it's wrong.
Well, see,
or,
I think like you said something there that was like a little bit of an offender to me.
Okay.
Which was, and maybe that's too strong of a word, but it was a conundrum.
Okay.
Like that Matt doesn't understand. It's better. So the idea of modeling something for your kid, like immediately my brain goes, if that's the goal, it's the equivalent of like where, you know, back in the day when I was in student ministries, like, you know, you'd have a conversation with somebody and be like, well, you need to take these kids on a mission trip because they need to experience that. And I'll be like, no, if my goal is their experience, then we're going for the wrong reason.
Sure.
And so like when it comes to the, and that was a wrestle as a parent, is it was like my understanding and personal exposure to this, the pressure was because that was the culture all around me. And so, oh yeah, I've got to model this, but at the same time, it was an opportunity. And it really forced me further to go to have to ask myself the question is like, am I truly grateful for this?
That was my point exactly. So not to put you in a conundrum or offend you, but like to go, is it a habit or out of my conviction, out of my relationship with the Lord, I'm truly grateful. So I'm explaining to my children, out of my gratitude and gratefulness to the Father for His graciousness and goodness, I'm going to give Him thanks for this. So this is why we do this at the beginning of each of our meals. So I think that is you're not forcing them to buy into something that they're not buying into or they don't understand. It's Dad and Mom, we're going to do this based on our relationship with the Lord and our experience and our heart posture, and we want to model this for you. It's not a, hey, do as I do type of like just, and don't ask why, just do it because you have to do it. Like, it's not that. It's a explaining and walking them through why we would do that and where their heart needs to be. But I do think that oftentimes we, whether it's a prayer before a meal or prayer in general, or even, you know, prayers in church services, sometimes they feel just kind of as fillers or things that you're supposed to do or have to do. So not trying to change the subject, but my question would be, does the Spirit always prompt the prayer? Like if there's not a prompting of the Spirit or like gratitude or whatever, if your spirit's not stirred to pray, like should you pray? So meaning if I sit down with someone and I'm praying over a meal because I think they think that's what I'm supposed to do, and it's just kind of I don't want it to be awkward for them or for me, so God bless this food type of thing, or you know what? No, I think we're good. Let's just go ahead and eat.
I'll say it this way. If it's a relational have to, it's not relationally driven. Does that make sense?
If it's a relational have to.
Like if you're doing it because you have to, not because you want to. And let me put a little caveat.
Are you talking about relational with the Lord or with the person across from you?
The Lord, in this case. But I'm also saying like apply that to your marriage in any situation. If it's a, if you're getting a Valentine's gift because you have to.
Right.
Does that work?
Right. So back out.
But there is also the reality of you surrendering even though you don't feel it, which I think is okay. Yeah. So like drawing a couple lines here. So on the one side, like it's the emotionless, I guess I got to demonstrate this, da da da, but in your heart, you really don't care. Then there's the other side of it, and I think this is where you cross the line, to where either it is a spirit-driven internal desire that you have at the moment, or it's an acknowledgement of your brokenness that you don't feel it right then, and so you're reaching out to God.
So my question is so there is never not a time that you should not sit down and pray before a meal, or
I think like, well, let me rephrase this. Like, I don't think it is a sin to not pray before a meal.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't think like we're not to that level of dogmaticness because it's way more relational than that.
Yeah.
And that's the journey type thing. And so when I take this outside of the meal context, so let's go to things like planning meetings. Like we'll talk church world that is all about God. It's focused on God. It's His church. We're just the instruments, right? So you go to planning meetings, worship services, all these things that you and me have a lot of reps at.
Yeah.
That we kind of know how they're going to go, and we can walk in the room and we can lead that meeting. And I've even confessed before, like in the men's Bible study, Like, there's a lot of times because I'm a go mode, let's get to the goal, let's go person, I'll sprint past that prayer.
Right.
But the conviction is plain and simply this, that praying first, while not a command has to be in Scripture, what it does is it centers everything around God.
Yeah.
And so that's the opportunity, like, when you pray first, if it's a meal with your family, like, yes, there's some acknowledgement of Thanksgiving where your heart's at and you personally engaging with God, but you're also setting the tone for the meal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're having a planning meeting, if it's a church service, I do it before I preach. I mean, that's one of the things. It's like I get up there and I know no matter how comfortable, confident, whatever I feel in what I'm about to say, I need to humbly go before God right then and say, hey, you change whatever you need to change right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that prayer first is something that is not a sin if you don't, but it just feels very relationally distant for me where I'm at right now. Now, with that said, there are a lot of times I will sit down and have a meal, and I mean, like, there's a lot of times I'm working at my desk eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the time when I'm by myself praying for a meal, like, let's take all the other people out of it, it's within the, as you talked about, that 1 Thessalonians 5, that continuous conversation. Because, I mean, there's all times throughout the day, like, I'm asking God permission of, like...
So what's the difference? If you're just at your desk eating your lunch by yourself, and it's kind of a, I'm going to pray without ceasing mode, I'll just kind of dive in and eat my burrito, like, whatever, versus you and I going out to lunch, or you and somebody else. And I'm not talking about a discipleship lunch or a church meeting lunch. I'm talking about just a fun hangout lunch, being in that same mode, but now feeling like, hey, now that we're in public and I'm with another person, I have to pray.
And I think
so is that bad for those to be the drivers of that? Or is that, or does that switch the context? So now it's, hey, it's not me privately. We need to put God at the center.
Well, I mean, that's what, once again, that's the but individual context in your relationship.
Yeah, but if I'm living in a pray without ceasing posture and you're living with a pray without ceasing posture, then when our Chipotle bowls are down in front of us, we can just go at it, right? Or,
well, you have to pray for Chipotle or else, you know, you're going to get like salmonella, right? Because it's like 4 times this year. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I think that's old. That's old news.
That's old news?
I think they fixed it.
Oh,
they took all the salmonella out.
Look it out. Okay, good. They're running it under the blue, the infrared light. It killed it all. Good to know. Health advice with Matt and Justin.
So what you're saying, here's a lot of P's right here. Prayer is a posture, whether it's proclaimed or private. Right? Can we say that? Like,
yeah, just did say that. So, I don't know if I can physically say that, but you just said it.
So the takeaway is that it's a heart posture. It's a spirit-led...
Give me that alliteration again.
Prayer is a posture, whether it's proclaimed or private. I messed up there. Prayer is a posture, whether it's proclaimed or private.
Okay.
Meaning you say it out loud or you keep it to yourself.
So if I'm personally packing lunch with Peter Piper...
Eating peanut butter.
eating peanut butter. I have to remember that prayer is a posture, whether in...
It's proclaimed
or in okay.
Precisely.
Wonderful. All right. Yeah, because I do think, as we got kind of...
That took a lot of brain power right there, by the way. If you could have just seen the room, like, we were staring at each other, like, trying to work through that.
So there's a video somewhere of a skit we did here where I was Peter Piper's papa, and it was a paragraph like that. And I was trying to pull some of it back, but I just got, it's none of it. Sorry, it's for a kids thing. But as we kind of look at this, I think the question, like, we get down to the question, like, the takeaway here, I do think there's a gratitude question there, because that initially was where my conviction came in on the meal side of things, is it's like God convicted me that I'm taking for granted all the provisions he gives me. And so it was a heart posture of gratitude. And so that is when I'm by myself, like, it's that's the driver. When I'm with other people, it is the weight of where the conversation could go, and that God's the only one that can change hearts.
Yeah.
And so whether it's somebody who's speaking into my life on a discipleship way, whether it's just us hanging out and it could go into that conversation, when I'm sitting down to dinner with my family, you know, my family's probably noticed, like, in the last year or two, like, I've been a lot more, okay, who's praying? And it's also, I think I'm just now that my kids are like, you know, 11 and 13, great job, realize this now, getting to a place, especially on the meal front, where it's like, okay, I have a piece about modeling this because it's genuine that I want to reach out to God here. It's real. It's not me just doing it because, oh, that's what parents have to do so their kids turn out right. Like, that never works. And so, So I think for you, that's the question. Like, and this, and maybe I'll verbalize it this way, because it could be you're not even talking on the meal front. Like, you have a rhythm with that, and it's what you need it to be in order to connect with God.
Kind of based off your example, I think of my bedtime with my kids. Now my 3-year-old it's a lot harder to work through this, but my 8-year-old to go, hey, will you pray with me? Yes, absolutely. So before bed, we're getting ready to pray, and I'll say, who do you want to pray for today? Like, what's on your heart? Like, so it's not a, I'm doing this because this is what we have to do. Daddy says the prayer and whatever I need. So he may not be comfortable articulating the prayer, but he has some buy-in to search his heart and go, man, these are things concerning me, or this is someone that's on my heart, or this is something I want to pray about. Now he has buy-in to the prayer that I may be praying on his behalf, but it's not just a ritualistic, habitual, have to do thing. It's now his heart is hopefully in posture to go, okay, I know Dad's going to pray about this because this person's been on my heart and on my mind. And so hopefully that's to help take it out of just that have to realm.
Yep.
And it's a communing with the Lord type
thing. And so I think the question, like, if I'm summarizing this up as we're closing out here, I think the question is there a meal, a meeting, a conversation, an area of your life where you need to start praying first?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what's the why behind it? Is it a gratitude thing? Is it an acknowledgement that God's the one in control type of thing? Like, what is it like that you maybe are taking for granted, or that you're trying to do by yourself, mm-hmm. that you need to go, you know what?
It's that, like, centering that you talked about.
Yes. Where do I need to, like, make sure, like, we're inviting God into this conversation, which he can go there if he wants to, doesn't need your permission, but like where do you need to go, okay, I need to make sure I know, like, God is in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the question, like, where do you need to let me ask this question, Justin. So if I ask that to you right now, does anything come to mind while I buy myself time to answer the question?
No, I think I need to do a better job of beginning and ending of day prayers. Like, I'm and usually probably in the end of day, like a prayer of just gratitude and thankfulness. You know, there used to be the Shema, or kind of this saying of the Lord our God is one, and kind of thanking God before your feet hit the ground in the morning, before you get up, and before your head hits the pillow in bed at night. And there was a period in my life where I did that, and it was just, again, not out of a habitual thing, but out of I need to force myself to recognize that God is at the start of my day and God is at the end of my day, and he is all in between. And sometimes I'll hit things during, like, a meeting or different things that I'm going into, that prayer will happen, a meal. But at night, I tend to just kind of drift off and go to sleep. And I think just kind of ending my day or starting my day of going, it needs to start and end with him. Yep. And so that'd probably be a place where I would need to start.
Yeah, I think for me, like, which is interesting because I feel like I just, like, have grabbed this verbiage in this conversation, is my calendar.
Mm.
Like, I really need to have a pray first mentality with my calendar, because I need to realize, like, my schedule's his. Because mm-hmm. I'm a heavy schedule person and I'm bad at it. Like, mm-hmm. I overschedule all the time. And so I think that's the one that's, like, hitting me right now. Well, anyway, we thank you for listening. We hope this was helpful. Just as you are evaluating your life, your day, we hope you find an area where you really realize, like, hey, I got to pray first.
Mm-hmm.
And hope that I was helpful to you. If you want to reach out to us, it's matt@doubleclickpodcast.com, justin@doubleclickpodcast.com. No, there is not a website yet, and we will see you next week.